You're listening to the Kingdom Culture Church podcast. To connect with us, hop on social media or go to kingdomculturechurch.com.au.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Ben. Thanks, guys. You can be seated. I brought my hot water up. I hope that's okay. It feels very like, you know, like a lounge room to just, you know, have a chat with you guys with a cup of tea. But it's not tea. It's just pure hot water. How good. Now, I can't show you because if I showed you, it'd spill, Bianca. That's a dumb question. Dumb thing to say. So, as you heard, I'm Jessie Rose. And for those of you who don't know me, I think I know most of you, your beautiful faces. But I am the worship pastor here at Kingdom Culture Church. And normally when I go to other places, I tell them that, you know, like, oh, what's a bit about me? I love cheese, which Fred already said, and personality types. It's kind of like the two boxes that I already have to my name. But, you know, I just want to tell you about some new boxes that I'm working on. I want to get really good at chess. On Friday night, I beat Dan 3 times in a row. Yeah. Yeah, and he was... And... So, I beat him twice. And then he was annoyed. And so on the third game, without telling me, he only told me like 2 days later with a group of friends so that I wouldn't like be outraged. He had like the chess app up. And every move I made, he plugged it in to see what the computer on level hard would play back and made the moves that the computer was telling him to make. But then, I moved my queen, but didn't take my hand off it, and then was like, and then moved it somewhere else, but he'd already plugged that move into his phone, and so he'd ruined his board, and he was like, I'm now the queen's in the wrong spot, and I can't get out of it, and I still won. I'd like you to know, I still won. But we played this afternoon, and he beat me, so the magic mojo of Friday night seems to have ended. But anyway, I'm going to work on it. One day I'm going to beat you again, Brad. I beat Brad on the day of the first live recording. And that just tells you a little bit about how less stressful the first live recording was, that we had time to play chess. Wow, we've come a long way. But I beat Brad one time, and it was 4 years ago, and I still remember it, but I'm going to beat him again. And Jono after that. So, and I also want to get really good at tennis. I decided after Lamb Island, Nick, I'm coming for you. Jacob Mann, be my coach. You know, I'm coming to Russell's house. He has a tennis court. And so, you know, sorry if you didn't want everyone to know that. But anyway, these are some new boxes that I'm working on. What do you guys think of my new boxes? Like, okay, all right. Is it because you don't think I'm going to get good at tennis? Okay, hey, I was pretty good. I beat Maddie twice. And that's it. But, you know, I didn't beat anyone else. I got beaten by everybody else I played. But I felt like I was quite good. You know, anyway, I'm going to work on it. So, that's me. Hello. I'm a little sick. Well, I'm like 95% better. Sorry if I sound a little nasally. I feel like the microphone amplifies it a little bit. I was like, I feel like I sound great. But then when I put my mouth to a mic, I was like, sounds a little nasally. Anyway, but we're in the Minefield series. And as Fred said, it's topics that are subjects we don't cover heaps. Things that we, kind of like the minds that we, as church in the West, sometimes tend to like do a little dance around. Have you guys seen New Girl and like Nick does the like awkward dance? That's like the Western church with these topics. We don't want to talk about hell. Persecution? Sex? So anyway, yeah, so we did heaven and hell, which if you missed any of the podcasts, go back and listen. We did holiness in the 21st century, which to be fair, I just want to shout out KCC. I feel like the middle two, we actually cover on the regular. Holiness and like porn and sex and sexuality, I feel like we actually touch that stuff a fair bit. I feel like the first one and today's one a little less, but yeah, I feel like we do pretty good, so go us. But yeah, the why behind the series is we want you guys to be equipped on what the Bible says about these issues. So shout out to Pastor Rob and Pastor Heather for coming up with this topic and giving all of the preachers a little bit of anxiety as they prepped this, really. We're going to have more. Oh, great. Yeah, so it wasn't the easiest message, if I'm honest, to prepare. I felt quite challenged and convicted, and I cried a bit and felt a little like ill-equipped to bring a message on persecution. But I did. I read a book called Tortured for Christ by Richard Wurmbrand. And he was an amazing man. I'm going to talk about him a little bit later. And I think that gave me a lot of content and material and context for what to share about. And I wanted to share you something that really moved me from that book. And I just want to read it to you. So if you want to close your eyes for a second, get your best listening ears on. I'm just going to read you something that, just a little story. But it was very powerful. It made me cry. So he said, one of our workers in the underground church was a young girl. The communist police found out that she secretly spread gospels and taught children about Christ. They decided to arrest her, but to make the arrest as agonizing and as painful as they could, they decided to delay the arrest a few weeks until the day she was to be married. On her wedding day, the girl was dressed as a bride, the most wonderful and joyous day in a girl's life. Suddenly, the door burst open and the secret police rushed in. When the bride saw the secret police, she held out her arms toward them to be handcuffed. They roughly put the manacles on her wrists. She looked towards her beloved and then kissed the chains and said, I thank my heavenly bridegroom for this jewel he has presented to me on my marriage day. I thank him that I am worthy to suffer for him. She was dragged off with weeping Christians and a weeping bridegroom left behind. They knew what happens to young Christian girls at the hand of communist guards. Her bridegroom faithfully waited for her for 5 years. After 5 years, she was released, looking like 30 years older. She said it was the least she could do for her beautiful Christ. As I read that, I just wept. I think by that point in the book, I just was quite undone by what our brothers and sisters in other countries go through. But more than that, more than what they go through, but the posture of their heart. Like, it wasn't what she went through that made me cry. It was the part where she said, I thank my heavenly bridegroom for this jewel he has presented to me on my marriage day. And I said to Jesus that I want to be like that, and I hope I'd be like that. I'm not sure I'd be like that, but that's what I want. And if you take anything away from tonight, is a desire to love him better, to know him more, to have that love blazing on the inside, that no matter what we face, that we would consider it a privilege to stand for him, to be his beloved, to be his chosen ones, that that we would live our lives with that sort of a purity and that sort of a love burning out of our eyes, that sort of a hope in the most hopeless circumstances. So if you take anything away, take that. So persecution, it's not something we talk about often, but it is in the Bible a fair bit. Paul talks about it. Peter and Jesus himself address persecution and all experience persecution firsthand. For those of you guys who may not be familiar and maybe haven't grown up in a Christian background, and so this isn't like familiar content for you to hear, and you might be like, the word for persecution might even be a little bit unfamiliar for you. The Google definition, which will probably come up, yeah. It's hostility and ill treatment, especially because of race or political or religious beliefs, which is what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about persecution for our Christian faith. It comes from a clash of irreconcilable worldviews, where we have a worldview and a faith that says one thing, and then these different ideologies that are coming and it's clashing and it's like irreconcilable. And it can range from insults and ridicule, maybe little jokes and jests and jabs from friends or family members, to torture and death with everything in between. The loss of income, denial of aid or food in third world nations is a really common form of persecution that's going on right now, especially because of COVID in countries that, where they need world aid and food. If the Christians are the minority and they are receiving persecution, they're denied aid. They're turned away because of their faith. Loss of business and legal battles. So I want you to understand tonight that I think it's important to understand that persecution isn't just torture. That is the worst form of it, but it actually has a really big range. And I think it's important that we understand that. So tonight, if you have your Bibles with me, I want to preach you from the Word because that is living and active and does a better job than my opinions. So if you can open up, we're going to Matthew 13, and it's the parable of the sower. Who knows the seed and the sower? Show me your hands. Yes. Who knows the seed and the sower? Great. So I'm going to paraphrase a little bit and then I'm going to get to the verse that I want to focus on. So we've got the sower sowing the seed and it's a parable. Jesus is talking to his disciple. He's talking to a crowd actually, but he explains it later to his disciples. And he explains four different types of soil that receive this seed, right? Four different types. How many? I'm just going to make you say things because you got masks, so you're a little shy. So I'm just going to sometimes like throw you things like that. How many soils?
Four.
Amazing. It just makes me feel like I'm not alone. So the first soil is actually a path. And so the seed gets scattered and there is no soil there for the seed to go into. It's a path. It's hard. It doesn't, and the birds come along and eat it. And Jesus explained that that situation is where people hear the gospel. They hear about Jesus. They hear about what he's done for us, but their hearts are hard and they don't understand. It doesn't even register in, and actually like the enemy comes and that's the form of the bird and it's the seed and actually doesn't even go into their hearts. The second soil, which is the one we're going to be focusing on tonight, it's rocky ground. And so there's soil mixed in with rocks. And so the seed goes in, and I'm going to read this verse to you. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who This is the next one. I wanted to go into that. So we've got the rocky ground, which is what we're talking about tonight. I actually really wanted to touch on this next ground, if that's okay, the third ground, because I actually think it's super relevant to us. The third ground, it's actually soil with thorns coming up. So we've got the path with the birds, then we've got the rocks and the soil, and then the sun comes and scorches it, and it has no root. So when trials or persecution, persecution and or hard things, not necessarily persecution. When it says tribulation, that's like hard things. We face all kinds of hard things in our life. And so when we face these hard things, the root isn't deep enough to withstand that pressure and it cracks and the little plant, flower, seedling. That's really nice. The seedling doesn't make it. Not nice. All right. Next one, we've got the soil with the thorns, and the thorns is actually, I love this one because I think it's relevant to each and every one of us. This is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfaithful. It's often a later down the road one where the plant actually grows up and looks like it's taken solid root, and it gets some roots going down and it's flourishing, maybe even bearing fruit. But then the weeds, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches come and they choke the life out. And later down the road, that plant doesn't make it. And then the fourth and most wonderful soil is the good soil, where the seed goes in and it bears a beautiful crop and reaps this like harvest of 10, 15, 100 time fold harvest and reproduces itself. So we've got these four different soils. But tonight with persecution, I want to focus on the seed that has no root. Why don't we pray? Jesus, I thank you that you're in this place. I thank you for your spirit and I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that it has power in it. It has power to speak to our hearts. Lord, I just pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight, Lord, that you would give us a fresh baptism of love, of fire and boldness for you, Jesus. I pray that we would have roots that go down deep into you, Lord. I pray that you would breathe on this word tonight. Jesus, I thank you that you endured persecution and suffering, that you speak about it firsthand. So, Lord, I give you permission to speak through me tonight. Lord, I pray for authority, not from personal experience, but from your word and from what you went through and what you taught on, Jesus. We thank you for what you suffered for us. And we love you, Jesus. Amen. A few years ago, I went away to New Zealand. It was before COVID. It was 2017, actually. And Francesca isn't here tonight, so I can slay her. Pew, pew. She's probably watching. Pew, pew. So Dan and I were going on a holiday, and we were, like, renovating our house. It was a hard time. No, it wasn't really that hard a time. It was just, like, there was lots to be done, and we were, like, we really wanted to go on this, like, it was, like, a work trip holiday. It was great, where Dan was shooting houses, and we ate, like, peanut butter and banana on toast because we were quite poor because we were in the middle of a renovation. So every day we'd just, like, eat bread, not even toasted, actually. It was just bread, gluten-free bread, and peanut butter and banana. But it was a really happy trip. Like, I think we went into it knowing that we were just, like, little poor kids that just going to backpack around, you know, New Zealand. Anyway, it was really nice. But at home, we had planted a whole row of new hedges. And they were little seedlings, just nice little hedges. And I asked my mum and Francesca, but mostly Francesca, so I'm going to slay, and mum's here, so I have to slay Francesca because she's not. And I had this row of hedges down the side of my house, and they were really young and little. And when hedges are really young and little, they need lots of water and loving and care so that they don't burn up to a crisp and die. Andrew's smiling because he knows he's a gardener. And so we wanted to go on this trip. I wanted my hedges to live, so I asked Francesca to look after my hedges. You know, straightforward. I get home from a 12, 14-day trip, and my little row of hedges was bright red and crispy. It was like a packet of crisp chips. It was crisp as, and I was so mad. I think I cried and was so, and I went out and, like, instead of just leaving the dead leaves, which probably weren't doing any, I just, like, go and, like, pull all the dead leaves off, like, woefully looking for any life, and, like, and then sending photos to mum and being like, look at this plant, you know, just really, like, wanting to milk it for all the symphony. But anyway, so, Cheska, you ruined my hedges, but they came back, they bounced back. Hedges are good plants, good Christians. They make it through. Oh, it's a bad joke. Have you ever known... Have you ever known someone, so I'm going to be serious now. Have you ever known someone who actually, it was like that soil with the rocks where at first they received the word with joy. They received it with joy. There was this passion, there was this excitement. But as soon as trials, or as soon as tribulation, or as soon as persecution, that's a really strong word in our context, but when that came and tested them, actually, at that point, it shriveled and it couldn't withstand it. Have you known someone? I want you to think about it for a second. Because it's actually quite a common occurrence, and Jesus warned us about this. And so this is the focus of my message tonight, having deep roots to withstand trials and persecution. That we would have roots. And my prayer is that everyone that goes home from tonight would, I guess, do business with God and have an honest conversation with God and say, Lord, I want deep roots. I want to be one that is found faithful to the end. I want to be one that stands and is bold for you. I want roots that go deep. So persecution, why do we talk about it? Like, why? There's so many things that we could talk about, but I want to give you three reasons really quickly. These aren't my three final points. I have three other points, but I want to give you three quick points, if that's okay, for why we talk about it. Because again, if this isn't something that you're familiar with, you might be like, oh, this is a little uncomfortable. Why are we talking about this? So the first reason is Jesus promised persecution. So if you're taking notes, write that down. Jesus promised persecution. Anna preached an incredible message this morning. Everyone listened to the podcast. It's better than tonight's. So just go listen to it. I'm not even kidding. And it wasn't just for flat. Like, I wasn't saying that to give get aff. Don't come. No one come and say anything about that. So just listen to the message. I don't care. I'm not a words of aff person. Keep your affirmations. Just kidding. That I want to read you some things that Jesus, like, that we have in the Word. So we've got Paul who writes this, and he says this to Timothy. In 2 Timothy 3:12, he says, "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Woo! Yee! 1 Peter 4:12 to 14 says, "Beloved," so this is Peter writing, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you." So this is trial. It's broader than persecution. "But rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you." So that tells me we shouldn't be surprised when we face persecution. Luke 6, this is Jesus' direct words, it's the red letters, says, "Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you." I love how specific it is, when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Jesus says we're blessed if we're persecuted. We're privileged when we're mistreated as a follower of Christ. Not for when we do the wrong thing, that one's an important thing to clarify. Not for when we're obnoxious and then people are like annoyed at us. That's not what this is talking about. Whether minor or major, insults or much worse, we'll face some degree of persecution. And so that's the first reason we want to talk about this tonight. Reason one, Jesus promised it. Number two, millions face persecution. 304 million people. Just think about that. Close your eyes. So in Australia, we have about 27 million, close your eyes, I want your eyes closed, 27 million people. 300 million people suffer, Christians are suffering from high level persecution. Open your eyes, it's big. I got some facts for you guys. Christianity is the most persecuted religion in the world. When you look at the stats, it's the highest. And more men and women are being persecuted today for Jesus than at any other time in human history. Millions of Christians face intense persecution and risk their lives for the sake of the gospel. In the past year, I know this is heavy, this is the last fact. In the last year, 4,761 Christians were killed for their faith. That's from Open Doors. It's mental, it's big. These are our brothers and sisters. And so this is why we've got to talk about this. I know it's uncomfortable and we want to do the Nick. Can't we talk about worship? Tell us to lift our voices and sing. Come on, Jess, that's what you're good at. But we've got to talk about this. This is a real thing. Number three, third reason we've got to talk about it. We will face persecution. Okay, I want to unpack this one a little bit. Just give me 2 minutes. We are privileged in Australia. And I know privilege can be a bit of a trigger word. KCC doesn't subscribe to critical theory. If you don't know what that is, Google it later. It's not what I'm talking about here, but we are really blessed. If you want to use blessed, use blessed. But we are privileged, we are blessed in Australia to worship freely, to be able to share our faith, to be able to, as we purchase fuel, say, "God bless you," and not feel at risk and threatened for our lives because we said, "God bless you," to a stranger. As a whole, Christians in Australia and other Western countries haven't faced major persecution, high-level persecution. Okay, getting into the juicy stuff. In recent decades, some of our privileges are leaving. That's actually not persecution, that's privilege leaving. However, I personally believe, and I'm pulling Rob Porter in this because he told me that he believes it too in the audio message on what he wanted me to preach on. He believes, and we as a church believe, that we need to be prepared for potential persecution in the future. Jesus didn't promise that we would always have religious freedom and democracy forever and ever. That's not in the Bible. It's not there. And if I want to get like specific, like we've got Victoria's vilification laws, which mean like it doesn't look like it's not torture, but we are looking at legal, massive like fines and legal battles and even prison time for different things that where Christians, when they start saying what the Word of God says, when they just say what the Word of God says, which we are sola scriptura, we believe in what the Word of God says. When you say that, you start to get persecuted. I was just talking to Dan today because, you know, I love tennis now. And so he was telling me what happened in the tennis last night. And he told me about a girl called Ash who just won the tennis. And she's really cool. And I want to be like Ash. But he also told me about a woman called Margaret Court. Yeah, and she's like the most decorated female tennis player. I'm sorry if I get this wrong. I heard this today in the car. Fact check it with Dan after if it's wrong. But he told me that she was amazing and there was a stadium named after her in Melbourne, but they renamed it and she's been like cancelled, cancel culture. She's been cancelled because she was direct and honest and didn't shy away from what the scripture says about marriage and her beliefs around that. And so like they've renamed a stadium and she's like out of popular opinion because she dared say an uncomfortable part of the gospel. I'm going to talk a little bit later about some more on this, but just going to put a little asterisk here and say I want to talk more about it's easy to say the nice parts of Christianity. So just a little star there. We'll kind of come back to that. You know, we've got Israel Folau. We've got, you know, it's not physical torture, but this is loss of income, loss of business, legal battles, cancel culture, where it's really, we could face more of this. And I don't say this to scare you. I hope that you don't feel like I'm being alarmist, but we want you to be prepared because we don't want you guys to be the seed that goes into rocky soil and expected it to be a real easy road. And then when the sun came out and there was trials and when actually it's not all easy and maybe Christianity doesn't look the same in 20 years in Australia than it was when you first joined, signed up, but when you first got saved and met Jesus and it was easy and it was just fun and like, and if it's not, like it may, and that's wonderful. But I just want you guys, we want you guys to be prepared that if it's not always the social and political climate that is in welcoming and inviting to all that the gospel brings, which talks about sin and repentance and some uncomfortable things that to our humanness, actually it repels. It's like the sin in us is like, we don't want that part of Jesus. We need to be ones that have roots that go deep, that can stand. So, the three reasons, just going to recap because I want you to know Jesus promised it, millions face it, we'll face it. I wanted to say we could face it, but Dan said we'll face it sounded better. So, all right, so how do we respond to this? What do we do with this information? I know I've given you a lot of information and you're probably like, how does that change my day tomorrow? How do we get these deep roots? Well, I want to talk about Richard Wurmbrand. So he's the guy that I referenced at the beginning. I want to tell you about him. Man, oh man, oh, so inspiring. Okay, he was a Romanian Lutheran pastor, and he was persecuted and tortured. He was in prison for 14 years for spreading the gospel. There's this powerful moment where as communism was taking over Romania, he was in a room, and this is the asterisk, okay? He was in a room, probably maybe a similar amount of people, but they were all high-level church leaders in Romania. And they represented the different denominations. And they were there in a gathering that was being broadcasted to the whole nation. And they were there with the communist leaders. And one by one, these different pastors got up and said, communism is the most wonderful thing that could come to a nation. Communism and the gospel are perfectly compatible. It is wonderful. Communism is going to mean that pastors are going to get a pay rise. Communism, one guy was quoted saying, Communism is going to bring such a wonderful paradise on earth. We won't even need the eternal paradise in heaven. It was, and they just stood up one by one as they got these pay rises and became the state church. What you need to understand about the underground church and the state church is in communist nations, so in Russia, in China, in Eastern Europe where it's spread, they would allow a form of church to stay. And to people who don't understand Christianity, they look at like these communist nations like, you can still have church. There's still churches, but it's very controlled. There's passages of scripture that entire chunks of it, anything that's remotely controversial and talks about the important stuff is thrown out. You can't talk to children. You can't talk to youth. Very interesting. And anyone who's serving in youth or kids ministry, feel the significance and the weight of what you do here in the West, because in communist nations, they're the two demographics. They don't care if you talk to the elderly, but do not touch the youth or the kids. But these, so we're in a meeting and there's these pastors standing, and one by one, they all just start saying, communism, gospel, totally compatible. And Richard Wurmbrand stands up in the middle of this meeting because his wife turned to him and she said, they spit on the face of Jesus and the gospel. And he said, she said, say something, Richard. And he said, if I stand up and say something, you will have no husband. And she said, I'd rather that than have a coward for a husband. What a woman, what a man. And he stood up and it broadcasted all through the nation, through every radio set. He stood up and he started saying, brothers of the faith, we are commissioned to be holy priests that stand and preach the gospel and Christ and Christ crucified. And he just starts preaching pure gospel. And he's like, it is not going to be through an ideological political system that we will have salvation. It is through the blood and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But he paid for that. He spent 3 years in solitary confinement. He was imprisoned twice. He was physically, his physical torture included mutilation, burning, being locked in a freezer box. And then as soon as he was about to die from freezing, they would remove him. Sorry if there's kids, I probably should have warned, but persecution. He was taken out, then rewarmed, and then put back in. It was just full-on stuff, guys. He was eventually ransomed by Americans for $10,000, and he immigrated to America and dedicated the rest of his life to raising awareness in the West for the persecuted church. I am rapidly running out of time. Band, if you can come and join me, it might help me. All right, so what do we do with this information? I'm going to get practical. Point number one, write this down. We'd be lovers. How do we become someone who loves like that, that loves God like that, that loves others like that enough to put our lives on the line? We start now. We start now. We love those who hurt you. Do you want to be someone who could stand in the face of that woman? Start by getting over your stupid offense. Forgive. Forgive those who hurt you, who wrong you, who irritate you. Practice turning the other cheek. Practice sharing your faith. We start now. We start by letting love get on the inside and take a hold of us. We can do that here. Richard Wurmbrand said this, and considering what he went through, I think it carries some weight. God will not judge us according to how much we endured, but how much we could love. He doesn't judge us according to how much we endured, but how much we love. Remember that girl on her wedding day. That's the kind of love I want to have for Jesus. Okay, my second point. Be givers. We can be givers. Can I read you another quote by Richard Wurmbrand? He's so inspiring, right? I feel like my whole message is just quotes from his book, but like it's just, it wrecked me. I hope it wrecks you. Okay, can I read you this one? I tremble because of the suffering of those persecuted in different lands. I tremble thinking about the eternal destiny of their torturers. I tremble for Western Christians. Oh, that's us. Who don't help their persecuted brethren. In the depth of my heart, I would like to keep the beauty of my own vineyard and not be involved in such a huge fight. I would like so much to be somewhere in quietness and rest, but it is not possible. The quietness and rest for which I long would be an escape from reality and dangerous for my soul. The West sleeps and must be awakened to the plight of the captive nations. After 3 years in solitary confinement, all he longed for with his wife was to live a monastic life, to retreat, to live in the country, to do gardening, and to pray. Beautiful, noble, a good desire, right? He'd become like the introvert of all introverts because of 3 years in solitary confinement. I think he probably had a bit of social anxiety after that. But God spoke to him and challenged him and said, you can't. It is not possible. The quietness and rest for which I long would be an escape from reality and dangerous for my soul. The West sleeps and must be awakened to see the plight of captive nations. Like, this man could have signed off fair and square and said, I did 14 years, but he gave the rest of his life talking to privileged people like us, saying, hey, 304 million of your brothers and sisters are experiencing high-level persecution. Can you give?